Cat?
Yes?
Cue the theme song.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
This is a spoiler alert if you have not seen all the way until the mid-season finale.
Don't listen.
Stop.
Go away.
Right.
Get off. Walk away.
Yeah.
Go to your VOD, your video on demand. Watch all of them. Twice in most cases.
Yes. All of them twice except for that pirate one. Because you don't
Well, yeah, okay. Except for the pirate one.
Yep,
you can skip the pirate one.
They have
you have to see the pirate one
one time.
Yeah, you have to see the pirate one time.
And then that's it.
And then that's it, yeah.
So, and I'm not even sure if Carl, I think he is watching Doctor Who, I'm not sure. But we'll get his take on it.
That's the question, because I don't know if we've talked about it. Obviously, we've talked about Doctor Who before. But I don't know, you started with Christopher Eccleston, right?
Yes, my baby daddy. No.
Well, we'll call his people.
About that.
I'm kidding. I'm angry with him right now because he's dissing Doctor Who, and I am just, I don't know, I'm really sad about that. But that's where it's Matt Smith's turn right now, and we're going to talk all about him.
It's really good, yeah. You know, speaking of me, I go back, way back to Pertwee.
Pertwee, wow.
Last season of Pertwee, but I really kicked in and started watching with Tom Baker. And I know it from Tom Baker all the way straight through. So that's just you all.
I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow, so the TARDIS should be free of the force field now.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh God, you sound 10 times better.
That would be all right.
So, Pertwee, I've gone back. And I've started watching old.
Oh.
So you say Pertwee, I know exactly who you're talking about. The first episode of his that I watched was Carnival of Monsters and didn't like it at all. I thought it was old. But then I was like, you know, maybe he's like Firefly, where you have to go back and watch it from the beginning. You can't watch him out of order. And it was true. I watched Spearhead from Space, and it was really good, and you really got the feel of him. And then I was able to watch him, and I'm still in Pertwee era right now.
Yeah, we gotta get you to Baker. We gotta get
that's
start,
fine, but I kind of wanted to, you know, just start over. And
yeah, well, if you start from the Sarah Janes, that's the best part, best way to start, because that's it's his last season, and then she gets, I think, 3 more seasons with Baker.
Right.
And it's an entirely different show with her.
Yeah, Joe Grant, not a fan.
No, not really.
Okay, let's stop it. Let's talk about modern. We're boring everybody.
Yes, we certainly are. So this season, I think, is a function of Steve Moffat coming in and going, okay, we're going to do this, and this is going to be entirely different from what we've been doing on the show. If you look back to, I mean, even back to his Eccleston episodes, The Doctor Dances, and the sequel, the second part of that, which I don't remember the name of, that those episodes are, they have time, like Silence in the Library is the one we've always been going back to because Riversong's in it. And there's such a breadth and a depth of it. And, you know, we with the Doctor have been, which doesn't happen often, we don't know anything else other that the Doctor doesn't know. We don't know anything that he does know. That's wrong. We don't know anything that he doesn't know. You know, we're not tipped off first. He's not tipped off. And it's like,
he was tipped off. Because if we want to jump ahead, spoiler alert, he knew the whole time that Amy could have quite possibly been a Ganger.
Right.
Breathe. But we didn't know that. Right. Push.
I love Moffat. He's planning these things out. My friend and I, we've been talking about this show because we're big fans. You know, he's an older fan than I am. And his whole thing is, are these mistakes? Like last season when the Doctor came back to Amy and he didn't have his coat on. Or, wait. No, he... the doctor took his coat off and walked on, and then the new doctor came up with his coat on.
Right.
And talked to Amy. And we're all going, oh, well, look, this continuity error. I mean, come on, really, a continuity error at this point? Turns out it wasn't a continuity
error. It was a big deal. Yeah.
And it actually fit in.
Eric, Carl, and I talked about that, and Eric brought up that jacket thing because he noticed it, and he had figured out everything, and Carl and I talked about him bad. We was like, that's no way that they're bad. That's just a continuity error. You're not supposed to notice stuff that deep, blah, blah. We just blasted him, and he turned out to be right. Oh, I was crushed.
This is the thing. And my friend picked that up too. Listening to what he was saying, it didn't quite make sense. You know, if you read it on the surface, it was perfectly okay, you know, right. But underneath, like contextually, there was more to, he was saying more than we were hearing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then he says it, then we flip it 180 degrees, come from his point of view, then it makes sense. So
sometimes the doctor just doesn't make sense. So that's kind of why we accepted it though. And did.
The thing about it is, they keep playing the piece on the promo where they go, I'm not being stupid. I'm being perfectly clear. You're just not keeping up. You're not hearing. I have the perspective. I have the view. You don't. Therefore, you have a problem. You know what I mean? Keep up. So it's always been one of the more ingratiating and kind of annoying parts of the doctor. But now he's taken that subtext and put it into the actual stories. So as the story goes now, with the first seven episodes gone, we've gone from the astronauts, the silence, in the first two episodes. Then we had the pirate episode, which is, okay, it's a pirate. Then we had probably my favorite episode, certainly my favorite episode of First Seven.
I wonder if you like that.
Possibly my favorite episode of the season, possibly my favorite episode of all time.
All time? Really?
All time.
The Doctor's Wife is what
The Doctor's
was talking
Wife
about.
Is the episode, yes.
We got to meet Sexy.
We got to meet Sexy. That's because that's what he calls her when they're alone. It's brilliant. I love biting. It's like kissing with a winner, which I think is,
okay.
You know. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he says some of the craziest.
And Neil Gaiman is such a quiet individual. He's not boisterous. He's not scary. He's, you know, he doesn't have things falling off his hair or anything. He's just a nice, normal man with really nice, normal speech patterns. He's really nice guy.
Talking about Neil Gaiman, right?
Yeah, Neil Gaiman. And then you find out that these weird things live in his head.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, nice and normal. Well, that dude, number one, he doesn't look normal. Number two, I mean, he doesn't look weird, but he doesn't
look... No, he doesn't look... Well, he looks normal.
He looks
okay.
A little, you know, like he's on the fringes.
Neil Gaiman, if you don't know, if you've never heard of the man, Neil Gaiman wrote Sandman for a long time and created one of my favorite characters of all time, Death. I think Death is one of the best characters ever.
That's fine.
Because you get what everyone gets. You get a lifetime. You know, humans... Why are they so big on the inside? Ah! Of course we're bigger on the inside. That's part of the... Okay.
Okay, so let's start with the impossible astronaut, because we're all over the place. We're kind of ADD here. Impossible astronaut. Well, from the time we first met River, we wanted to know who she was. She was going in opposite directions of the doctor. They had a history. She seemed to be really, air quote, familiar with him. Did you have any speculation by Impossible Astronaut or Day of the Moon that River Song was going to turn out to be the daughter of Amy and Rory? Did you see that?
My money was on the doctor's daughter.
What do you mean?
There's an episode.
Oh, you mean like back
from
in
David Tennant's? David Tennant's.
Okay.
Where they generate, where he, they cloned him and generated a female version of the doctor.
Right.
His daughter. In the end of the episode, she dies, quote unquote.
And then
she regenerates. She comes back. Same person, but she regenerated. Moffat has stated that he requested specifically that not Tennant, producer
RTD
Davis, keep her alive, don't kill her.
But we're not using her. They kept her, but I don't think this is the same thing.
This is not the same thing.
Oh, it's not the same thing. But well, you at the first, if that was your first thought, that it was.
That's who it is.
Oh, okay.
Being an imp and just being, you know, impish with him.
Yeah.
And it didn't. That probably didn't make sense on the surface of it. I wasn't so convinced that she was Amy's daughter until in the Doctor's Wife, Sexy says to Rory, the only body of water in the forest is a river.
Right.
And it's like, bing, okay, fine. All right, it's river then. literally, we go, okay. So does everyone think it's river now? Show of hands.
No, I thought that because back then when River said that she was in prison for killing a good man.
Ah, well, this is another thing.
Let me tell you how I connected it. When she said, I went to prison because I was going to kill a good man, I thought, that's weird, because the only reason she would be all, you know, quiet and not, you know, say things about her future or spoilers or anything like that is if that good man was the Doctor. So in the back of my head, I always thought that, well, you know, she's being real coy about everything. So this good man that she killed must be the Doctor. Then fast forward to Impossible Astronaut when we're in USA. And then the Doctor stands there and a space person in a spacesuit comes out, kills him in the middle of regeneration. And then he's dead. So I was like, okay, person in this suit has to be River.
Right. Okay. Right.
Then for some reason, that little girl, when they went and they found a little girl and we saw her face in the astronaut suit, when we went to that orphanage or whatever, what was that?
It was an orphanage.
An orphanage. That little girl's picture was in a picture with Amy. Her face was in that picture with Amy. So right. I was like, well, if the person that kills a good man that is in the suit kills the Doctor, and then and it's the little girl in that suit, and that little girl's face is in the picture with Amy, and then Amy's having a little girl, therefore River has to be their daughter. Really convoluted. I don't know how I put it together.
there's like,
do you follow that at all? Does that make
at least one leap of faith there? But no, I follow it entirely. I think that is, I mean, I think those are the clues along the side of the road that you were supposed to find. Literally, I think you followed it all right. The thing of the story, the first two episodes ended rather nicely in a nice big red bow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they ended up defining everything. We're used to, especially in a Doctor Who episode, you're used to everything winding up in the amount of time of the episode. You know,
I'm glad they didn't, because this is like B5. It's planned out.
You know, yeah, exactly.
It's planned out. This is what this feels like, and I'm more engaged with this than I am with the bucket, you know, single serving episodes.
Well, yeah.
Is it more enjoyable and less enjoyable for you though?
Oh God, yeah. Oh, I love it. I absolutely adore it, because it's somebody gives you a big plate, right? Boom, of food, and you eat the plate of food, and you go, oh wow, that was good. And then there's a door on the plate, and you open the door, and there's more food inside. You're like, oh my God, there's more food inside.
Wow,
there's more
that's
stuff
weird.
In there. Look at all that.
Because I was like imagining the
plate. I haven't had dinner.
And
I'm sorry.
Then you get to the bottom, and then you open and there's a door on your plate.
Yeah, it opens up, and there's more food. There's an emergency food thing in there.
That's the things nightmares are made of.
You know, it's like, oh, there's a good thing I get to eat, and I actually I can digest it and go, wait, what did he mean? Okay, I didn't know when I was going to be able to stop saving you. What does that mean?
He said that on the lake?
He said that on the lake. I didn't know when I was going to stop, or words to that effect, very close to that. He was talking as if he knew he was coming to the end of his existence. So now, fast forward to the gangers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Doctor generates a copy of himself, you know, but that wasn't the ganger. The guy who said, Smith, call me John Smith.
Oh yeah, that episode was so brilliant because I didn't see it from the beginning until he's like, I'm him and he's me. I was like,
wait, hold on. What? Yeah, you're in my head. You're in my head. No, exactly. But you know, I think in there was something that could have drawn it out. Being now that the flesh is programmed with the doctor's matrix, that it could theoretically generate itself anywhere it needed to do it in the existence of the flesh. You had the opening scene with all the events that the doctor appeared in, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is back to my ultra theory, that I don't think that those were the doctor. I think those were the ganger, Dr. Goo.
Which position we're talking about at what time? You think in Utah he was a ganger? Shot. Okay, yeah, I think
that was the ganger.
So you think?
I think that all the sections in the beginning of the episode, the guy under the girl's dress, the guy in the tunnel, the guy dancing with Lauren Hardy.
Oh, you think all of these are gangers? You think all of these are gangers? Well, you think it's several gangers or one ganger?
Okay, I think it's one ganger, quote unquote. Not necessarily.
It's two more than one ganger. It'd be too much.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's one ganger.
That's interesting.
The reason is the doctor is there in Utah. What's the thing he's standing against or sitting on? A car, not the TARDIS, an automobile. He had to get there in an automobile.
And, oh wow, you're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah,
man.
Just think of that. You're blowing my mind.
But Pertwee traveled around in a car. It was like a satellite vehicle to the TARDIS.
I didn't say he couldn't drive.
Okay. Well, we're gonna leave Pertwee alone because right now I'm all Pertwee in my brain.
I know.
But another thing that I thought, because I didn't recognize that to think he was a ganger. I was recognizing that he had on the Stetson and he called Amy, "Hello, Pond." And yes. Then you notice in the ganger episode,
Exactly.
Yeah, she said, "Don't call me Pond." And the only person that called her Pond was the ganger. And that is.
But that ganger was docked with seats.
You're blowing my mind, man.
Okay. At this point in the conversation, I fall on my knees and pray to the god Moffat. Because the guy is this complex. This subtlety.
I didn't feel
and
that.
To the extent that nothing... We've made this statement. I make this statement. Nothing is a continuity error. Everything is correct in every episode.
I had a problem with the finale the last time. That the last finale before the Christmas episode, I felt it was sloppy.
Big Bang.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sloppy. Okay.
And it's
Hold on, we had
all these little nuggets of information, and when it all
hold on a
together,
second, hold
I
on
was kind of disappointed. Okay. Okay.
There's one thing with that though.
What?
In the Big Bang, there's a guy. Silence will fall. There is also. To the episode with Amy in the TARDIS. Oh, geez, I don't remember the name. But when the doctor rents the apartment from the guy.
Oh, the Lodger episode.
The Lodger, yes, the Lodger. Go back to that one. Watch Amy looking at things in the TARDIS that aren't there.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
There have been silence in episodes of last season.
Oh, now you're going too far.
No, I swear to God.
Oh, come on.
Look at that episode. There are sections. It's at least three episodes. Well, okay. What was that ship?
That hurt. That's just, that's.
That ship is a silent ship.
It was. See, I didn't know if anybody else noticed that.
Well, we noticed it. Let me put it that way.
Because I thought
of course that's idiotic. Don't be idiotic. No, I don't want to say that, but it's like, yeah, continuity error.
But wait, the silence falling was them us killing them, right? Because the silence will fall. And then when you say something fall, like Rome fell, that means they all get killed off and there's a war and they lost, right? Is that what we're meaning by silence fall? Because yeah, the silence did fall, we kicked their asses.
Okay.
you're not feeling that?
Maybe we did and maybe we didn't.
Well, I mean, because
All right. The other thing is, this is the other part of this. And I can't take 100%. I'm not saying, well, I came up with this great idea. No, but I realized some of these things while we were talking about it. This is partially a friend of mine's theory on this. His theory is that the silence, may be the prototype for the Cybermen in this dimension.
I would go Ood before Cybermen.
No, not the Ood.
They have Ood face. They have Ood head. They have Ood suits.
One second. Okay. When the silence talks, the way it talks is how a Cyberman
do it. Do it.
The Ood. Now my voice is gone. I can't do it. But the Ood. I had the hardest time understanding the silence. I'm like, what? What is it? We have to rewind it or something. So bizarre. There are three things we came up with roughly. One was, don't give me that look. There's the look of the eyes when they pull back the mouth.
That mouth is horrible.
I know, but it's round and the eyes are round, so it could be parallel. You could look at that and go, yeah, okay. The other two is the voice.
I want to say the same voice, but I'm scared to disagree with you because you might be right.
I know. And the third.
Right now, I think you're a crazy man because that.
Oh, no. Okay, now the third thing. Now you're going to pick up on this. Now this goes back to before Pertwee. It goes back to.
Here we go. Troughton?
Troughton, in his episodes, he had three episodes with the Cybermen, right? In his three episodes, Cybermen had three fingers.
Wait,
the silence have three fingers. I know, but you're like, but the idea was, why did the Earth, why did the people of Earth decide to go to the moon? Why? Because the silence needed.
They're transformers up there.
Because the silence needed a spacesuit to adapt into cyber armor.
Yeah, that's some creative thinking. You know what I'm saying?
We kind of work on that.
That's creative. Right now, I'm a naysayer. I say nay, sir. Okay. Nay.
What did you say last time? The guy said, "Never mind." No, but I mean,
They have to be either proto Ood or proto flesh.
I don't think. No, I don't.
You know what I don't understand about the flesh is, what's their motivations? Where do they come from? Where have we seen this before? You remember that second Christopher Eccleston episode, the very second one, and he had that last person on Earth when her face was stretched out on that little...
Cassandra,
yes. So the gangers kind of look like Cassandra. And... Mm-hmm. Not finished form. We know that's not, for some reason that connects in my head, but we know they're kind of separated. But I don't understand the motivation of the flesh. Who's controlling the flesh? Where did it come from? Why does the doctor know?
The flesh is the flesh. I mean,
I get that, but what is the flesh?
The character itself. I mean, it's not motivated by anything other than.
Yeah, it's because it's angry. The doctor said it was angry. It wants to be free or something like that. So we have that. Then we have that lady, eye patch lady. She mm-hmm. knows how to control.
Now she's a bigger kettle of fish.
Oh, that's what
I think that. Well, it's an interesting idea. The idea of talking about the young girl in the last episode, A Good Man Goes to War, who comes in and joins the fight to meet the doctor again.
Right.
And they ask her, and she goes, I want to meet the doctor again. He goes, why? He's not a warrior. Well, why is his name doctor? Because their word for warrior is doctor.
But how does this connect to the flesh and the eye patch lady?
That's part of him. He's altered his relationship in certain parts of the galaxy. His relationship to everything else is dark and terrible. But in most of the rest of it, the doctor, that's where we get the term. Right. You know, that's what River says. That's where we get the term doctor.
I don't know. It seemed a little contrived to me that all of a sudden there's these people who want to go to war with the doctor. And all of a sudden doctor means warrior and he's evil and he's supposed to be at the pinnacle of power in this episode. I mean, I just didn't feel that urgency or that
kind of sounds like a guy with two personalities, doesn't it?
Oh, I see. What
you see what I'm saying? You see how things slide? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Click. Where are you going?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All
right. Light bulb. That, so see, you're saying that they're that Ganger doctor is out there causing Dr. problems. Goo. Dr. Goo. That's epic. That's the best.
There you go.
That's so, his name, Dr. Goo.
Exactly. That's why I think was. And it's not like, you know, the Ganger, like the Flesh are evil. No, they're not. They're neutral. But
they have an ulterior motive because the puddle of flesh, I mean, the big barrel of it, when the doctor put his hand in, he said there was a definite consciousness and it was angry, remember?
Right.
Right. So, and then the Gangers, they always went, you know, a step too far with their anger. It's like they all of a sudden they felt fear faster. They felt anger faster. They went to terror faster than just a regular human being. I just don't buy that they're neutral.
No, I don't.
If the Ganger, but it supports the statement that you're saying that if there's an alternate doctor running around there with doctor meaning warrior, then that supports because
exactly
Gangers tend to be a little bit more unstable or, you know, angry, just angry.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I wonder if that's going to be it. That's
well, I think that's part of it. I understand that. I don't know if it was the fact that the Cybermats came up for no reason. You know,
they were just
discussing the Cybermats. I went, why are they discussing Cybermats? That makes no sense.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason to discuss the Cybermats. There's no reason to get in a ship, go to put on Rory's Roman Warriors.
Yeah, but it sure was.
Walk in. It was cool. I gotta say, when all the everything explodes, and he goes, "You want me to restate the question?"
Oh, you know, that was hardcore. I loved it.
Oh God, that was so cool. And they're just standing there. He goes, "Don't look at me like that."
What was the one with the brain? The see-through helmet with the brain showing.
That's her. The cyber leader.
Oh, I thought what. So we're saying he's like the Borg Queen.
There are several things going on. One of them is it's they're dimensionally different. They live on this side of the Rift. You know,
Delta Quadrant.
Delta Quadrant. Delta dimension. But no, but it's that's part of it, and also part of it is they built these suits, you see, and they have only like 7 or 8 suits or something, and they have to reuse them.
Yeah.
If you'll note. On the chest, the C is gone because the C stood for Cyberdyne. C stood for Cyberdyne Industries. It's gone. It's apparently been covered over, so apparently it could be removed or replaced. I'm not sure about that, but you know it's covered over, and the cyber leader was the idea of that creature was put forth in the first episode where. Or the second episode, where the guy becomes a leader of the Cybermen, and he becomes cyberdized, and you know then they just his brain was part of his suit. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So they did that, and then you know they did it later with in the Christmas episode the new doctor, the next doctor.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, so that was cool. That's where I saw that.
Yeah. That was basically it's basically his helmet with you know the suit.
Right. Right.
Another suit.
Okay, so we did possible astronaut Day of the Moon. Curse of the Black Spot had to be the weakest episode. It wasn't really connected. Go ahead.
I thought so. I agree with you on that one, but I have to say. I got a FaceTime call from my niece, and she goes, "Oh my God, they got me!" She had drawn a spot on her hand, and she held it up to the phone. And I thought it was really cute, so she hilarious. Liked it.
Yeah. It was fun, but it didn't give you that same level of Doctor Who crack that you're used to.
Right. No. No, basically no level of Doctor Who crack.
Yeah, Doctor's wife, yes, very.
Oh my
beautiful.
God.
I cried.
Where's my thief? I love that. I'm like, wait a minute. We saw the uncle, the aunt, and the house, and the. Where's the? Oh, the doctors.
Yeah. Yeah, she just and I'm just like, I really loved how the way the doctor kind of speaks, it's just really disjointed things, like he has 500 things going on in his brain, but his mouth can't process them. So he speaks, you know, disjointed, and the TARDIS spoke just like that as well. And yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. And I like how, you know, at the end she was like, I just wanted to tell you hello. You know, the most painful and the most best word is alive. And it was just to see the TARDIS junkyard. It was just something we've never seen before.
Yeah, TARDIS Lane at the end of the universe. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was so... I mean, they shot shots of the TARDIS different on the exteriors differently. It was just... I was like, oh my God, they actually... Every cent that they had not allocated, you know, they scrimped and saved on every other episode, and they put every penny they could into that episode. It was just so nice.
It was phenomenal.
It was fabulous.
Rebel Flesh, it was sort of like The Thing a little bit. Well, not really.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. It was like The Thing. That was what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I saw both episodes. There was a time-space problem, and I ended up with two episodes at once.
Oh, okay.
From a certain location, which shall remain England. I get the advantage of watching both episodes together without commercial interruptions. but before I watched it on the BBC of America, because, like, I'm really... Go BBC America, yay. I watched it, and... It was, when I watched the first part with commercials, it was okay. When I watched the first part without commercials, it was paced differently. And it was scary. It kind of, it was like, oh, gives me, I'm a little upset by that. Oh my God, no. You know, and by the end when she, you know, her head's coming off and she's, she's growling creature.
It's ridiculous. I told you that.
I know, it's kind of ridiculous, but it's really... Yes, but she's angry, not the rest of them. So I was like,
the rest of them was starting some trouble too. So, but she
started, but led by her. So I don't.
Well, she was a little insecure mouse of a woman. So maybe she had some other like issues going on.
That's what I'm thinking. I think the impression stage, the transfer of your memories, the transfer of, you know, from your original to your ganger, means, you know, that. Your emotions come too, which is, you know, you're upset, you've got issues, you've got body issues, you've got all that stuff. So I think that is important in setting up the transfer process. And I think that speaks more to what you end up as rather than how the flesh felt originally. You know, you got the pit of, you know, just the dead flesh. Or dying flesh.
Stuff on the floor,
yeah.
Okay, stuff on the floor, the throwaway flesh. That was so gross. Ugh.
That was gross. But the thing that got me were the eyes. The eyes on the wall. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I tried to connect those to the Atraxi a little bit, but... I was like, oh, maybe this is a sign that's from the Atraxi, and this is how the Atraxi... And I was like, you know what, let that go. Just let that go.
No, I think... Yeah. No. But if you... look at it, it was just, oh God, it was just so, it was creepy. It was a creepy episode. And the other thing is, which I don't think people realize, maybe they do, maybe they don't, that Amy told the doctor that he was going to die.
Yeah.
On accident, but she did.
Yes. But another thing he knew that lends... credibility to the other Dr. Gu being alive is that he said that the doctor would be able to come back together, you know, pull his, I guess, atoms back together to be one being.
As long as his matrix exists in the flesh, he can reconstitute himself.
Okay, thank you. You said it more eloquently than I did. I'm like, yeah, when he put together the things with the...
Put the things on the other things, the other stuff.
And ringing bells and... Okay, and so, yeah.
Yes, that exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, I did not see Amy being flesh. That was
I think I think we figured it out, but the thing was we were trying to figure out where she left, and it turns out she left, they implied that she left before they left from their home.
Right.
Because in her home
apartment, yeah.
In her apartment, if you watch, she's wearing the flannel shirt.
Oh, you're going with the shirt theory.
going with the flannel shirt theory. Except the only problem with the flannel shirt theory is in the last part of, you know, in the voyage, the moon, the voyage to the moon or whatever it was. In that episode, at the end of the episode, she's not in the flannel shirt. She's in that black suit.
Right.
So that was the one thing I went, wait a minute, there's a problem there.
I don't know what to make of that as well. So I'm just gonna let it go. But yeah, I noticed that as well.
Yeah,
it's like flesh can change clothing and then take it back. Can they? I mean,
no. It can create clothing and you know just create clothing. It's everything, including the clothing. That's what they say.
Yeah, but sometimes she had on the flannel shirt. Sometimes she had on jeggings or leggings, jean leggings, and other times she had on the short skirt with
tights. She always had the flannel shirt on.
Yeah, she always had it, but sometimes she changed her bottom. So if she could change her bottom at will, then maybe, you know, she can, you know, do something with the suit. But I don't know the mechanics of that. I'm pretty sure it's not important. But, yeah, so between the apartment and when they went out to the Utah, the road.
I think if that is true, it was before the apartment. So it could have been in the Lodger episode.
Oh, you're going
back. It would theoretically make sense. But then again, she'd go in and out. And it doesn't make sense that she'd go through the entire explosion of the universe and the whole reconstitution as an anger.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all. That doesn't make sense at all. It's good.
But I know. You have to admit. It is pretty good.
It's good. But then you think about the mechanics of the Big Bang, and then it's like,
nah.
Maybe they changed her when she was in the Rubik's Cube Pandorica because there were two Amy or however you want to say it, and
Amelia.
Two Amelia. That's
two cool. Amelia. Yeah.
And
okay, kid, this is where it gets complicated. No, yeah, it's I don't necessarily agree with that.
Agree with what?
Well,
maybe that she could put a ganger there. Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
I don't agree with that. Possible, but I mean, it's possible, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
But yeah. So then you've got, I mean, and those are, I have to say, first two episodes, brilliant. Loved them. I loved all the Nixon stuff too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To just record Mark everything Shepard that goes on in the. Now. Oh, he's good. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I like him. But I'm like, you know, he goes, record everything that takes place in this room. I'm like, oh, God, come on.
That's hilarious. Oh, yeah. Now we get it.
And we're sitting there giggling our asses off. And I'm sitting there, myself and my sister are watching a show with my niece. We're, you know, they're talking about recording. We're both giggling. And she's going, what are you talking about? Because she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, Dickie. Oh, Tricky Dickie.
That's going to take some time.
It was so funny. You know, say hi to Robert, to David Frost for me. David, who's David? Yeah, it's really cool. It's very funny.
Oh, and then the part where there's like, they have guns. Oh, they're Americans. They will shoot.
Yeah, I know. That was good.
Like, oh, come on. We're not that bad. Yeah, no, we'll shoot your ass off.
Actually, we would.
Yeah,
we shoot a shoulder. We blow a shoulder off, and then ask what the hell is going on.
Yeah, that's us. We'll own it. We own that.
So well made, and again, in the second episode, the whole sequence of Amy going into the room and seeing the silence all floating on the ceiling, and that's so cool.
Scary.
It was creepy. It wasn't scary. Like
No, yeah. I mean,
it was creepy. It was like, ooh, it's really creepy. Ooh, it's a little.
They're gross.
And then the door opens.
They look more like a ood. Because ood are creepy like that. Come on, give me the ood. Give me the ood, man. Okay, secondary fine.
Brains, not real. I mean, fine. Non-processed ood are cool. I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
Not the guy in the thing notwithstanding, but
another gross thing. Let's talk about finale. Are the headless monks?
The headless monks. Oh my god! Why do we call them headless monks? They don't have heads.
You know, I was kind of upset with the headless monks who don't have a head, because what's holding it up and what makes it look like there's a head thing there, that irritates me. Where's the thing that shapes like a head, so when they're walking, they look like they have a head in it, but they don't have a head? What is that? Where is it? Where's the head? Where's the, you don't care. That, you don't care. You don't care?
I need to explain this to you.
Okay.
It's a little known thing. We don't use it that much in the United States. Sometimes a little bit.
Here we go.
It's called...
Imagination.
Imagination. That's
what it is. Thank you, Dad.
No, I literally, it's like, yes, there isn't, but they're cool.
But it upsets me. It upsets me like
it's Paul's
hair blowing in the wind when he's in outer space. There's no wind in space. There's no wind in space. Oh.
Okay. There also are no huge space galleons you can fly with a wheel. It doesn't work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that can happen. I believe that. But,
I'm kidding.
So it was good to see those soldiers again. That's always pretty cool.
The papal soldiers, yeah.
Yeah, I liked seeing the fat, gay, Anglican married couple.
Yeah, why do we need that was perfect. We're the Anglican, gay.
The thin,
yeah, I'm the fat one, he's the thin one.
Yeah, the fat, thin, gay, married Anglican Marines. Yeah. I think that's what it was, yeah. Yeah, we're boring everybody. But anyway, I really liked that. I thought that was cute because, I mean, you know, I didn't expect it, and it was a great laugh. And I guess they didn't need names because didn't they both die?
Yeah. Well, the fat guy died, obviously.
Yeah, he became... Well, did he become a monk, though? Because...
Yeah, he became... Well, they cleared out all the monks.
Yeah. But the monks were really cool. Not only did they use swords, they used, like, they had hand lightning or something, like a Darth...
Jedi.
Something, yeah.
Jedi, Dark Jedi.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't mind that at all.
Me neither.
What else? I love seeing the Silurian and the Centauran.
I got to say one thing. That Silurian and her maid, woman servant, I don't know what she is, love those characters.
Yeah.
I think they are so amazingly cool.
Yeah, they're cool. And I would love to see them because they're kind of steampunky.
Oh, yeah. They're very steampunk. Very steampunk. But it's just the idea that here are these characters. And it's like, okay, by the way, boop, here are these characters. They have a huge backstory, obviously.
Mm.
She killed Jack the Ripper. I mean, come on. all this stuff, you know. And I think Holmes has got to be in this period, right? So there's some stuff to have there. Or at least Conan Doyle.
I thought about Sanctuary because Sanctuary has Jack the Ripper in it as well. And
you
think about Star Trek, who Jack the Ripper
I like the guy who plays Jack the Ripper. I don't remember his name. Ian something.
On what? Sanctuary?
Sanctuary, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in Da Vinci's Inquest, which is like a really, I love that show. And he's one of the detectives in there. He's a really good guy.
He was a vampire in Twilight.
No, really? Oh, damn it.
Anyway,
Colin Firth is a damn, or not Colin Firth. He's a vampire in Twilight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Think about that. We don't have to think about that.
Hate that. Anyways, back to the thing.
Back to
now,
that.
I also loved
the Centauran. Nurse.
Centauran. Oh, I can lactate it.
I can make magnificent
lactic fluid.
Yeah, you could tell I haven't had a child. I can't. Oh, magnificent. He was so Klingon.
I hope that we can meet in battle one day where I will kill you.
Yeah,
that's so good. I love that. I'm a nurse. Come on. How good can it be?
Hey, that was great. I just think that this episode, the first time watching it, it was overwhelming because it was so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
small doses, I think. I'm finding every episode has to be watched at least twice.
Yeah, except for the pirate one. But yeah.
Yeah. I did watch it twice, but I didn't get much out of the second viewing. I did get some out of the second viewing, but it was more like, okay, the thing with the eye patch lady, and okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it.
Wasn't that much beyond it, but...
Right.
Yeah, but...
This one, the second viewing is really... you need it.
Yes, you definitely need it.
Because everything is kind of slower. I mean, even a third viewing...
It would probably hold up to six, I think. Yeah. It might.
Now,
the one thing about the episode that I really liked... was, again, going back in time, was when Matt Smith describes the end of last season. Because, well, Rory was there, and then he was dead.
Yeah.
then he had to reboot the universe, but that's...
No, he was plastic. Yeah, he was plastic for a while.
He was plastic for a while, and then we had to reboot the universe, another story.
I can't believe they were screwing around on the TARDIS.
My favorite line was the first time they were together alone on the TARDIS was... And she's like, when? Their wedding night.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you know, we were talking about this. We're like, well, what could happen to Aim? To it doesn't make sense. And I literally go, he could have a time head. Literally, I say this to my friend. I go, she could have a time head. And she's like, oh, yeah, I guess she could have a time head. Oh,
God.
Only you would ignore the instincts of the mother. I'm like, oh, God, yes!
Yeah. Yes!
See, this is an odd and strange and bizarre function that we don't use in the United States much, called writing.
Not lately.
No, so hell no.
Right?
Jesus Christ. No.
That's why I say it's so B5, because it's layered.
Yeah, I have to admit that. Yeah. I have problems with Szymanski. I was one of the B5 irregulars. We met on the board, which actually translated to the coordinates of Babylon 5.
Aww.
You know, on the GE network.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Old man.
Oh, back in the 40s. But yes, it was in the late 80s, kids. go wake your parents and ask them what that was.
Michael Jackson jackets and neon colored bracelets. That's what that was. Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of neat stuff from him, and ultimately, I had a bit of a problem with him. I think he put a mark in the sand, which I thought was great. Unfortunately, I think he stood too strong to them. He held too strong. No, these can't move. Like, anyways. Mm. But that was...
I enjoyed him enough.
It's a really good way to structure the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
You structure the story, and you have gateposts, and you have to hit the gateposts. And I liked that. It made a lot of sense.
And I think that, yeah, if you're going to do a show and you want people to commit to it and it just not be a casual show that they watch and your numbers slim, I think that you have to do it like this. I think Doctor Who deserves to be serialized.
Exactly.
I think, you know, why not?
I have a question for you, because you're obviously back watching the old episodes, which are 4 and 7 episodes long. But they're half-hour episodes.
Right.
Because it would run mostly 4 hours. There are a couple one-episode pieces, and there's like threes and sixes and all kinds of other things. Which do you like better? Do you like the individual, like, you know...
I don't.
Russell T, he had episodes. And
I don't like bottle episodes. I really, because they... it's nice if it's a casual cute show. I don't know, because sometimes it can work. Like Sanctuary, it has a story, but it's all over the place. I don't know why I still love the show, but I still do. And they do like totally different things each episode, and I enjoy it. early Doctor Who, they had those split episodes. Like, if I'm watching one on Netflix and they're all split up into four pieces like that, I don't know, it gets kind of long. It gets kind of tedious. I want to just get, you know, and they repeat themselves. And sometimes it drags on and on. Like, I watched the Three Doctors and they had Omega. And that guy just talked and talked and talked his head off because he didn't have a head.
Exactly.
And it was just like, oh my God, wrap this.
Does it look like a clock?
It's like, wrap this up, please. So I think because they were trying to fit it into a long amount of time, that sometimes it just was too long. So yeah.
But when I would watch them, I watched them out of WTTW in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they run them at 11 o'clock on Sundays. So my
AM or PM?
No, it's PM. 11
Good
PM
night.
On Sundays.
Literally.
Yes. So literally, in a 25 minute episodes, you're there till 12:30. So, and I would get up very late for school the next day for a lot of those episodes, but they would cut them, so they cut the beginnings and ends off. Yeah. So they'd run it right through. So it was one chunk of story. But it was like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it is now, but not really. You know. But yeah, I agree. I like the length, but I do like the serial aspect. I like this whole plan. I mean, you know, here's the first half. Now they just put out a couple, I think yesterday, maybe today, the first episode of the next part of the story is going to be September, I think it's 9th.
Yeah, and they're going to kill Hitler.
Let's kill Hitler!
You know, after just roller coaster ride of an episode, they end it, your mouth is open, and then it's like, next fall, let's kill Hitler. And it was just like, this is clutch. It was like, wow, I think I just got...
Yeah.
I don't know what just happened here.
Yeah. I think it's
but
brilliant.
I need a cigarette or something. I don't know. you just felt like you just needed to take a sip of wine or.
I know for a fact. I know
take
for
a nap.
For a fact, you know, what's going to enter into this concept is the idea of fixed points in time. Where, yes, it would be nice to go back to the beginning of World War II and kill Hitler or kill him before, you know, he rose up in the party. But somebody else would take his place, or something else.
No, I hate that because maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I don't think somebody else would take his place. There's only one Hitler.
Well, true. Well, okay. All right. I'll give you that. There's it's the idea that, you know, that was evil and we fought him, right? And that's what it was. Those were the evil guys. We were the good guys.
And people keep fighting him. Good night. If I see another episode of some science fiction show with them fighting Nazis, I'm gonna yawn.
Dude, you have to fight Nazis.
Oh, I'm so tired of Nazis, man.
Nazis walking
Let them go. Let them just die in peace. We get it. They're evil. Everybody gets it.
Yes, but they're universal.
I know Germans are tired or not.
Germans.
They're tired of them.
Nazis. I mean, you know,
every time.
No one on the planet Earth. Well, okay, that's wrong.
Well, yeah.
Just about to make a very
wrong. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I get you some very interesting voicemail, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's just say a lot of people on the Earth, most people on the Earth, that'll work on. Most people on the Earth don't like Nazis. But it's the idea that, you know, from their point of view, they were the good guys. Which is, you can't conceive of that, but it's true.
They can't possibly.
No,
you do what you do to people like that, you can't possibly think you're doing something good. Screw that. I've seen some of those pictures.
If you honestly think like an idiot wiping out people will save your country.
Oh, doesn't that sound like some people we know today?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Good man goes to war. Let's just step right
up. Let's go back to that, yes. But yeah, but I mean, yeah. Let's think. I think it was After I Speak Baby. I'm fluent in baby. I'm fluent in everything.
Oh, God.
But no, I know what it was. The sound of the TARDIS upset the baby.
Because the river was a ganger.
I mean, pardon me. I knew she was a ganger. I said, oh my God, she's going to be a ganger. She's got
right
be.
There, really?
Exactly. At that point, I was like,
how is
oh
that?
My God, that.
Amy showed no dislike of the TARDIS. Amy's How do we know?
Amy's an adult. I think part of the concept that the Doctor, part of the, remember, he was cutting off the signal.
Cut off the signal when? What are you talking about?
From their Ganger control to Amy. The link between them.
With his sonic screwdriver is what you're talking about.
Right, but she wasn't a balloon that he was popping. He was, obviously changing something in the TARDIS that would, and then she goes to get her in the TARDIS, and she doesn't like it because she
interferes with pains.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
the pains were obviously labor.
Those weren't labor pains. She wasn't the Ganger. Was the Ganger pregnant? Can Gangers get pregnant?
No, the Ganger wasn't pregnant, but she was pregnant.
Yeah. It
hurts. It really does hurt. If you keep thinking about it, it hurts. But if you just think about it a little bit, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, it's fun all the way. But I like about Doctor Who so far, to wrap it up. But Doctor Who, I like it the same reason why I like Star Trek, because you can sink your teeth into it. It has massive history.
Yes.
It has so many things that you can study up on, read up on, get really obsessed with, so many episodes to digest. And, you just don't have that in fandom anymore, where you get all this information to just, process with other crazy people who love it as well. Right?
Definitely. And the worst thing they do is heroes. Heroes build up a nice Let me finish. And then they contradicted themselves seven ways to Sunday, and you're like, if I can't grab any of it and say, this actually happened, this is a real thing, deal with this, then why the hell are we talking about this? Why am I investing part of my, history, my existence in thinking about this show?
Everybody feels that way about Heroes. In fact, I think we should sue somebody for that.
No, what's his name? The producer guy.
What's the producer guy? I don't know. Guy? Somebody needs to either sued or whipped publicly.
We should probably tar and feather this guy because
that's a good one.
But he's come out with a new show.
What? The cape?
No, not it's Kiefer Sutherland and his kid's autistic. Is that the one? That's the Kring. Kring's the guy. That's the guy.
Oh, Kring. So, and it's like Kiefer's on TV again, and he's doing what now?
Well, he's in a show, and his kid is autistic, but he can predict the future. Mathematics.
It's Nicolas Cage movie.
Right. So in five episodes, they expect the premise to entirely change.
Like that The Event show. Ugh. Okay, yeah. let's not end on a
new... like an offensive sci-fi. I think 5 minutes into the first episode, I was like, what?
What episode? What?
On The Event. I stopped watching.
Oh, yeah. I sat through the first one, and I was like, I can feel a circle jerk right now, and I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
It feels weird. Mommy, take me home. Don't touch me there. No, no.
Let us think of good things.
Yeah.
Well, we got movies coming out. We got Super 8's opening today, I think, Friday.
See that?
I'm thinking about seeing that. And although they kind of said, this is, look at a monster moving. Yeah, I can see what it is.
Yeah,
thank you very much for that.
I don't know about this.
So now I know what it is. Thank you very much.
Yeah. If they didn't tell me it was a monster movie, I don't think I would have seen it because I didn't understand the premise. I don't understand the name. I didn't care. I look at the trailer.
You understand the name, though, right?
It's about a camera.
Kids shooting, they're out shooting the movie? Where they shoot the movie on?
I know, and that name is the kiss of death because it just doesn't tell me. This is going to be an artsy film.
Cloverfield.
See that?
There you go.
Cloverfield sounds scary. What I'm saying?
It doesn't have the ring of, I don't know, a field of clover.
It sounds like it could have Operation in front of it, and it sound really, you know,
okay, yeah, Operation
Jack Boot Thug type. I don't know. But so X-Men First Class, I don't want to see that really.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
I heard it's like satisfactory, and it's like, really, I don't want to come out of movie it's I'm satisfied. Like, what? No, I want to feel like I came when I came out of Thor. I wanted
Now you saw Thor. What did you think of Thor?
I wanted to marry Chris Hemsworth. And by marry, I mean for one night. Maybe just do the honeymoon on the TARDIS.
Okay. Well, what? it's fine. No, actually, that's okay.
Everybody, like, when I say that to guys, they just like, I don't want to hear about this. I was like, okay, whatever. I have to hear about it.
It's a comic book movie. There's a lot of fighting.
I don't care. This transfixed this guy, and he took his shirt off. And
Women with large breasts. It's not supposed to have men with large breasts. Men.
Yeah, it did have men with large breasts. Lord's picks. Just flex more. And he did, and I was just like, and I was like, no, as a female,
did you think that in your head? Did you go, oh god, I wonder if he flexes? Oh god, he's flexing his box.
Yeah, I probably did, and I probably squealed and whatever. But, you know, let's move past that for a second. I'm serious.
Excuse me, let's circle that for a second.
Let's get a little serious here. The movie, I think, was great. The only thing I knew that was missing was the helmet with the wings. I'm glad they took it out.
They did that in another movie, which was Judge Dredd, where he takes the helmet off. And the premise in the comic book is he never, ever, ever removes the helmet. Ever.
Thor?
And then, like, no. Judge Dredd. The premise in the comic book is he never removes the helmet because he's always on duty. And he removes the head, and he doesn't put it on until the end. And it's like, okay, you have that fundamental of a concept.
Yeah, but that's
a
lame.
Where you don't know
that. I think it was a good thing that they did that, because who wants to see a guy running around in a stupid helmet the whole?
Can I ask you a question? Okay. Do you know what? Oh damn it! Don't do that to me. You want me to never remove Rambo guy? What's
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone. Do you know what Sylvester Stallone looks like?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think with a helmet on that would have altered his performance ability, his ability to give a performance?
He needed all the help he can get, really.
Well, that's true. Yeah, actually, you're probably right there.
He probably moat through a helmet, so. Yeah, no, I think it was.
But see, that's why they're making another movie, and they're gonna not have him take the helmet off, which I think is important and good.
Whatever, I don't care. Anyway, his shirt off, Thor, and so a lot of women say, oh, this is a comic book movie, I don't really want to see this, I don't understand it, I don't get it. And I was like, no. No. You know how, like, sometimes when your guy talks to you and he's just bumping his gums about something, you kind of tune out and nod your head and say, sometimes that's what you do here. You just stare at the prettiness of the man, the pretty man flesh, as he's like mud wrestling and all this.
Mud wrestling?
Yeah, he mud wrestled in the tent when he went to when he tried to go get the hammer out of the tent, and he was that one big black guy he was fighting, and he was like, ooh, you know, handing him his ass or whatever, and they were fighting in the rain and it was muddy. Mud wrestling. Booyah. So yeah, I don't care. You know, the only thing I guess maybe I can say maybe controversial about this film is that, yes, so the first instance we have of a black Norse god, he's a freaking doorman.
Oh, he's the guard of the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, he was a doorman.
Well,
he
no,
just
it's
opened
the
gate,
Rainbow
closed
Bridge.
The... Yes,
well, it's kind of a, you know, it's like a thing.
No, I was just like, you know, can we? I mean, he kept his helmet on the whole time, so it didn't even matter what color he was. He could have been green. He was a doorman. That's all he was. The whole movie, a glorified doorman.
Well, how, and you know,
and so I don't know why anybody was upset that he's black. What, I mean, what do you think? I've been yapping about how Chris Hemsworth.
I haven't seen Thor. I have been.
Oh, good, because I didn't really spoil anything for you.
No, no, Jesus Christ, no. Yes, not tonight. Ooh, no, I'm not.
What will you go see? What is your
I
on
will
your
go
list?
See, I have Captain America high on my list. That's
Captain
looking,
America. Why?
It's just looking very good. Okay. It's just, you know, because I think they're effing with the concept the least.
Okay, Green Lantern. How does that weigh against the Captain America? Is that
okay? I was looking at Green Lantern and I'm looking at it going, oh, this really looks. Oh God, does this look terrible?
But Ryan Reynolds is pretty funny. Oh, okay. You're not.
Green Lantern is a weird concept in that it was, you know, he used to be the guy who would, you know, make a rat trap, you know, like a mouse trap out of, you know, green energy, and it slapped on things. But he couldn't get anything, like if something was yellow, he couldn't stop it. You know, like you could shoot him in the heart with yellow arrows and he'd be dead. It just didn't work at some point. And now he's an intergalactic hero. He's the Green Lantern of our sector. He's not the Green Lantern. He's a Green Lantern.
And that's, you know, it was all, yeah, because Green Lanterns are like a group. And so you can be,
yeah, but it wasn't
if one Green Lantern.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was kind of. Well, you know, and like, you know, they've done stories where, you know, like, it was the premise of the race that they would give tribute to a Green Lantern, right? So they give this, you know, mountains of money to give to this Green Lantern, right? Well, it turns out they all do that. And their little kid gives, like, you know, like his little ducats to his father. He goes, oh, wow, that's really cool. Thank you. And that's what he does to be polite to his kid. He's teaching his child to live in a society. And it's, you know, it's like, oh, my God. He didn't violate the rules. He was actually living by his
right. I don't even know what you're talking about now. Really.
No, but it was, you know, it's just, you know, it's like,
what?
It,
is that what the movie's about? Giving tribute to a land? What are we talking?
No, but I mean, it's the concept that it's like, now he's, like I say, a member of a group rather than the leader of a group, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
So, and now, and it's kind of, it's like, well, I don't know. And I think he's going to have, like, it's like he has doubt. Ooh, he's doubting.
Well, he's
stuff.
A human and he turns into a Green Lantern, right?
well,
okay, you know what? We'll just watch the
let's
movie
not talk
and see.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
So, like, are you looking forward to Transformers Dark of the Moon?
Okay, this is the same looking at the movie like, oh, God, no, it's Shia LaBeouf. Oh, no, not again. Oh, my God, please, no. Then Cameron gets with Bay, and they're talking about the 3D, and I'm like, oh, really? It looks good? And then I'm like, oh, this looks pretty good. Oh, the building's falling over. That's actually well done. And I know Chicago, so... Mm-hmm. There are some buildings in Chicago I would like to blow up myself. but that's just me and my childhood. But so I'm like, I skipped the last one. I saw the first one. My God, I saw the first one. Really? Yes.
I might see it.
I might see it.
Cowboys and Aliens. What do you think?
Really looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens. It looks great. Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. I'm there. And Olivia Wilde comes along, you know, to make your eyes fine. So I'm I'm there.
Are you a Harry Potter fan?
No.
You're not going to see it? Okay, fine.
I will not see this 11th movie or for the 37th movie, whatever it is.
Shh, and, don't and make
thus,
Monaco here.
Thus
yeah.
making my, you know, it's symmetry. I have not seen any Harry Potter movie. Yes. And now I get to finish the hat trick.
The Smurfs. Woo!
Hey.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that either. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. There's two of the's in that. Rise
of the Planet of the Apes? I don't like... It's. I liked the old Planet of the Apes and didn't see...
The Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
The Marky Mark one wasn't that bad. People dissed it, and I was like, oh, I kind of.
I'm sure it's all right. I mean, because, I mean, Tim Burton, Tim Burton sits down and works on a film, he's not going to make a bad film. I mean, it's not going to have just terrible elements to it. It might have, you know, like okay, the script's not that good, or the story was a little weak.
I think people hadn't really adjusted to Marky Mark being an actor, so they just kind of, it's like, ooh, let's put Vanilla Ice in this, and then people, you know, treated it that way. So I think that if Marky Mark did it today, that it might get a little bit more cred.
Yeah, I think so. He's a pretty good actor.
He is. Conan the Barbarian.
Okay, moving on.
Wow, I'm going to see it because they're going to be.
Have you seen any footage from it?
Yeah, and I was so turned.
Footage or stills?
Footage. I saw a trailer, if that's what you mean by footage.
Well, they had the only trailer I've seen is the one where there's like an anvil, and there's like shadowy kind of turns, and that's it. There's no like, okay, he goes over here. Okay, he goes over here. He swings.
No, I'm seeing. Yeah, I've seen him swinging stuff.
Yeah, I
a sword, yeah. Not. Stuff.
I'm sorry. Hello.
I didn't see him speaking, so I was like, ooh, good. Man, he's gonna and be pretty on screen. No talk.
Oh my God.
I'm such a, what do you call that? Womanizer? A manizer.
You're manizer. Yeah. Jeez, at least I want to applaud. I don't, you know. No, okay, yes. Beautiful woman. I like beautiful women, but my God, I went. And to do something. I want Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, I mean, at least they're interesting women. I'm just saying.
Whatever. The Thing is being remade.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah, October.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was looking at that, and of course, it's Rick Berman, our friend from Battlestar Galactica. He wrote it, at least. I don't know if he's producing it. I'm interested. I'll go. I loved the original. See,
I just saw the original for the first time this year.
Okay. All right. I'm coming back from my reeling. So, what'd you think of it?
I enjoyed it. It was awesome. Even to this day. I mean, you could put that on today, and I'd be like, "Wow, that's creepy."
That's Howard Hawks. Howard Hawks. It's written so well. You can literally go up and hit it with a 2x4, and you know. It just springs right off. It's
totally stands
brilliant.
The test of time. And that's
yeah.
rare.
The characters, all the characters. I love those characters. They're cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Go ahead.
And then the remake, like that too.
Wait a second. I'm talking about the 80s movie is the first thing that I saw, not something else. So I'm sorry. So this is going to be the remake, right? So I didn't see the original then.
This is the third. Okay, go to your Netflix streaming. Pull
up
this
movie. Because I thought the eighth one was
this
very
movie.
Awesome.
Brilliant movie.
So we're talking two different things. I'm like, ooh, it's the one from the 80s totally stood the test of time. Okay.
That's fine. Like 20 years old. That's not
the test but
of,
I mean, you read
that's a test of
decades.
That's not. Yeah, go back, watch the one from 47.
It's in black and white. Oh,
it's in black and white, but it's brilliant.
Okay, I don't know. There's going to be another Paranormal Activity, Final Destination, A Fright Night.
Fright Night. David Tennant is starring in Fright. Well, he's not starring in Fright Night, but he's playing. Basically, he's playing the Roddy McDowall character. He's a magician. Turns out in Vegas.
That's stepping down a little bit.
Apparently. Apparently, he kicks major ass in this movie. It's not the character from the Roddy McDowall character, the scared guy. He's actually he thinks he actually has powers. I don't know. Or maybe he does. Maybe he's got a blue box in the back. I don't know.
Huh.
But I'm just saying. So apparently it looks because Colin Firth has been doing all his stuff. Colin Firth? No, it's not him. What's his name? It's one of the Collins. I don't know.
Okay.
But the cute guy, you'd like him. What's his name?
Are you talking about the guy from
Fright Night?
Colin Firth? I'm thinking not about Colin. The guy
that's
from Eureka.
That's not Colin Firth either.
Let me Google.
I
don't know who that guy is.
What's his name? I can't think of his name. It's that guy. You know, not the other guy. Or the guy,
It's the King's Speech guy.
No, not him.
So not him. So who?
It's Colin. It's another Colin guy.
Phil Collins. I don't know. What was he in?
Oh, Scrubs. What else was he in?
Hold up. Let me take it to IMDb. Go to the cloud.
Quick to the cloud. But anyways, but he, I mean, it's him and the kid.
Not a Colin in here.
And McLovin is in the movie.
Oh, jeez.
I guess he becomes, Evil Ed. I don't know. But it's, I'm speaking of the original movie, if you've seen that. But his girlfriend is much hotter than the girlfriend.
Oh, you talk about Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Hi, it's Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I'm definitely not seeing that. That's a B movie. That is totally B movie. Sorry.
You have to see it for David.
Sorry. You know what I meant to curse you out about?
What did you mean to curse me
out? What was that movie? Drag Me to Hell. You remember you told me I should see that? I watched that.
Yes.
I finally watched that. It was a horrible film.
There you go. That's what. There, your movie picking senses are dead, obviously, because you didn't know. You didn't write a very good, very recognizable movie, walked right up to you, hit you in the face, and you didn't recognize it.
I don't know what you're talking about. That actress. She just did not. That guy, I was just like, is he talking throughout the movie? Because I don't want to. I just did not.
Wanted him to hand you a PC, hand you an Apple Macintosh, didn't you?
It just was not a good film. It wasn't even enjoyable. Like, it's so bad, it's good. It didn't have that for me.
Oh.
It was horrible. It was horrible film.
I'm
disappointed.
Movie.
And I'm never seeing Ponyo. Screw you and Ponyo.
Ponyo! Oh!
Wait
a minute. Hold on 1 second, young lady. We might... Okay, we've had a disagreement over Drag Me to Hell. I will say that. I will admit that. But you cannot. You cannot.
I might see it in 5 years, but I'm still burning from Drag Me to Hell. Because, that was horrible.
Okay, go out. You get on your Netflix streaming. Pull up.
No.
Nausicaa. You pull up Castle in the Sky. You pull up Totoro and Kiki's.
No.
Then you come back to me.
Hell no, I'm not watching.
And you apologize to me.
No.
Because I give you an hour and a half each. I give you 6 hours of brilliant movies. There you go. My gift to you.
You know what? I'm done with you. I really
You like animated
That's
films.
That's our show, folks. No.
Fine, go away.
I don't know, man. That was just... It wasn't fun. I mean, it had gross things. I mean, I like Man with the Screaming Head better, or Brain. I like that better. I liked Bruce Campbell in Alien Apocalypse better than I liked Alien Apocalypse, acquired taste right there.
No.
I will watch SGU in its entirety before I watch Drag Me to Hell.
Ow.
Tall.
Ow. You would. Oh. Ooh. Ow.
I don't know.
Ouch. No, I'm just reeling. I'm just, okay. All right, fine.
Yeah, I know. And people disagree with me. I mean, there's like, you are on crack. Dragging Me to Hell was awesome. And I'm just like, I don't,
How many people are?
Pretty much everybody.
Okay, good. Otternot, he didn't like it either.
Who didn't? Oh, Otternot. You know, that's my boy.
No. He liked the movie.
He sure did.
We gave a glowing review of that movie.
That's right. Well, he's not my boy. Screw him. Okay. Well, we are like, I don't know, maybe 2 hour podcast.
And God.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we are going to give these points. If you're still here, bravo. Slow clap.
Yeah, thank you.
Slow clap. It's been enjoyable. Hope you enjoyed our Doctor Who. I don't know what the next episode is going to hold because Carl is still out of town. But I do know that on the 18th, at some time, we will be doing the Sci-Fi Party Line 100th episode live.
When is this now?
June 18th on a Saturday.
June 18th. Okay.
June 18th on a Saturday.
At what time?
To be announced.
Okay.
To be announced. I will make an announcement. I will put a blog post up on scifipartyline.com detailing what you need to do, because, you know, trying to write it all down in audio form, it's, you know, go to the website. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll blow up my Twitter stream and whatever to let people.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to be there.
Sweet, yay! Yeah, because it's open to everybody. It's going to be live. Ooh. So, that's our show, folks. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Please leave your messages 30 seconds or shorter, please. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.